the street, on the air.
The Competition Commission has been incredibly busy over the last few months. As you've heard, currently facing a number of challenges when it comes to the Concord at the moment regarding the banks. But they've also been reading through, deliberating and giving feedback on a number of business transactions of late. Consider what we see with the likes of CIVH and Vodacom, a deal that could actually shift the lay of the landscape with further consolidation when it comes to the businesses that own the broadband network infrastructure that is rolled out across the country. Consider MultiChoice and Canal Plus, the French broadcasting network wanting to own fully and delist MultiChoice from the JSE, but also ensuring that there is local ownership that is maintained from the South African investments point of view. And even more recently, we got clarity around Barloworld, a business that many of us might be more familiar with when it comes to their big equipment and machinery business, Caterpillar or Kanda Kanda, but they also have exposure to the food and consumables business where they provide the basic ingredients, think gluten and a few other fresh ingredients regarding ingrain that are used in the processing of food through FMCGs. Well, tonight we're going to get some clarity regarding this particular proposed takeover of Barloworld, a consortium called NewCo, made up of several investors, largely those coming out of Gulf Falcon Holdings, also comprising of Zahid Group out of Saudi Arabia, and Enja, a South African division linked to the CEO of the company, Dominic Suela. To help us understand what the nod from the Competition Tribunal does mean for this deal going forward, we're joined by Andrew Bauman, Chief Executive for Corporate and Advisory at Deal Leaders International. Andrew, I'm so excited to speak to you. I'm mixing up my words here, but great to have you with us on the show again.
Hey, Gugu, thanks very much for having me.
I recall having a conversation with you at the beginning of the year and a few months back where we were really taking a look at the lay of the landscape when it comes to mergers, acquisitions and buyouts. And boy, oh boy, has 2025 proven to be an incredibly busy year in this regard. Has this taken you by surprise at all, just in terms of the deals that are being discussed, but also the size of these deals?
Definitely. I think when we spoke last, there was just this pent-up frustration that these mega deals were being rejected or delayed and everything was taking a long time. And literally in the last 3 months, it's almost like a switch has been flicked and there's just this flurry of these large deals going through. So it's really good to see. I guess, you know, it's really to understand what these deals are going to look like on the other side, but it's progress, you know, and I think hopefully it's starting to send a better message to the international fraternity that, you know, there's still opportunity to do big deals and balance it with our, you know, local requirements. But obviously it's a big hurdle to overcome for any deal. So, you know, getting news like this on Barloworld is positive. I guess the next debate is going to be, you know, how the shareholders handle all of this.
Yeah. Maybe let's talk about some of the themes and considerations that the Competition Tribunal actually had to consider. We look at it from the outside in thinking job security, competition, Bob's your uncle. But it's a lot more technical and regulated than that. Talk us through this so that we understand just how much detail this institution needs to go through.
Yeah, look, it's intense, you know, obviously having not seen that, the detailed report, you know, but, you know, the process that is followed is a due diligence on steroids. You know, I think there are so many layers to what has to be considered, you know, from the financial and capital layers down to the impact, you know, to social, economic, political flow of funds, the value chain, stakeholders, independence, you know, labor issues, all of those things. So it is a huge exercise that has to be considered and waded through. And then, of course, the competitive landscape. What does this mean for, you know, competitors big and small? You know, will there be a shift in power base? What does foreign capital coming into the territory mean versus domestic capital? You know, qualifications of the consortium individuals and their pedigree and all of those elements. How do the stakeholders get managed? So yeah, it's really complex. And I think often there is a frustration because it takes so long. But, you know, it's an iterative process that the Competition Commission has to follow because they'll do their own work. And then you've got to start engaging with stakeholders. So you go through this back and forth. And, you know, when an entity like Barloworld is listed as, you know, there's added complications that have to be managed within the listing requirements and all of those. So it's step by step, but definitely a long drawn out. And I think often frustrating process because there's just so many cheese involved.
Yeah, definitely. I'm so keen to zoom into the recognition of historically disadvantaged people, typically Black South Africans, those who fall and comply under triple BEE codes. That has come up after deal after deal after deal, whether it was Heineken and Distell, SAB, AB and Bev. I can go on with so many lists of businesses that you and I have discussed. But more so, they've come through recently regarding Canal Plus and MultiChoice, as well as Barlow World. And given the establishment of NewCo, I'm quite keen to understand if we can just zone into some of the South African specific policies that do need to be complied with, that the Competition Commission prioritizes.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, because I think, you know, there's been a debate around, you know, from a Competition Commission perspective, you know, do they stay in their lane, and how broad does the mandate sit? But essentially, you know, what we are seeing is, from a South African empowerment perspective, any transaction that is taking place either needs to, you know, if there is empowerment in place, that empowerment needs to stay the same, or ideally it needs to improve. So you know, in most of these deals, obviously with these multinationals coming in, there's no BEE credentials that they can lean on. So there has to be a local partnership strategy, the right strategy. I think, you know, from a Competition Commission perspective, that's critical in their mandate, and we're seeing that across the board, both on listed entities and private privately owned transactions. But it is something that is, you know, hopefully there seems to be a bit more consistency, because I think from any acquirer's perspective, you just want to understand what the guidelines are. So that's important. The million-dollar question is, you know, is it cascading down? You know, so obviously you've got the higher level. In the case of a Barlow World, you've obviously got, you know, Dominic Sewela's family trust that's involved in the consortium. But, you know, that needs to flow down into enterprise developments and kind of, I think, have more impact along the value chain. So, you know, hopefully some of that detail will come to light. But it's definitely, you know, it seems that there's more of an acceptance towards the local rules, you know, which is evident by this flurry of deals that we referred to earlier.
Yeah.
But I think from a South African perspective and a Competition Commission perspective, we have to strike a balance, you know, because there are multinationals that I know we've dealt with where their global policy is they will always own 100% of the equity.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, in situations like that, there's got to be a different solution that we can find, because you still want the foreign capital and they want to invest. So, you know, maybe there's a slightly different weighting towards, you know, enterprise and skills development, social impact and all of those things. But
sure.
But yeah, not easy to navigate, but good to see in a situation like this that there is a local consortium that, you know, has got some, you know, some good backers as well coming out of the Middle East.
How I wish to be a fly on the wall in the boardrooms that you sit and have these conversations in, Andrew. But to close off with, I can imagine, you know, as we've discussed before, the rationale typically for international investors coming in to purchase South African businesses always does make sense, given the astute leadership of the businesses and the grounds that they've gained across the continent. Should we anticipate to see more deals of this scale, of this size, of this nature?
I think so. I think, you know, the issue always for, you know, any large company in South Africa, there's got to be some sort of shift in shareholding. And, you know, a lot of the time, you know, I think the Canal Plus transaction as well as this one, actually the Barlow World, you know, see, there's still growing interest in the African continent. So, yeah, I'm hoping this is the momentum that has started and it's going to continue. And you know, long may the Competition Commission approvals keep flowing. So I'm confident. Look, it doesn't come without its own challenges.
Yeah.
But yeah, it does look positive.
100%. Andrew, always such a pleasure speaking to you, sir. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Gugu. Have a good evening. Cheers.
Likewise. Andrew Bowman, Chief Executive for Corporate and Advisory at Deal Leaders International. If you haven't listened to our previous conversations with Andrew, do feel free to listen back to our podcast. This is where we actually spoke about the rationale of how South African-owned businesses that go through decades, sometimes centuries, of local development, ongoing growth, conquering various markets across the continent, and typically then get pursued and bought out by bigger international businesses. It's not a surprise surprise. It actually does speak to the favorable grounds and resilience that we see South African businesses having. But as he's described, yes, it's one thing to be bought out and be pursued by international investors, but priority is given to compliance with our local regulations that speak to a competitive environment, ongoing investment in our local market, the preservation of jobs and skills in the country too. It's almost 10 minutes to 7 o'clock. Stay with us. You're listening to Kaya Biz.
Biz. Kaya Biz.
Monday to Thursday.
6 to 8 p.m.
Kaya 959.